Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We are living in a nation in trouble. But how many realize it, or if they realize it, are willing to speak of it? How many conservatives are talking about it? How many conservative news outlets talk about important things like one-party rule, invasion on the southern border, cities on fire, destruction of our military via politically correct policies? Who is reporting it? Who really cares? What has become of America? 13 colonies fought a war against the superpower of the 18th century in order to be free. But what has happened in recent decades, and what will it take to get us back on track? My guest today is Cliff Kincaid. He's president of America's Survival, Inc., which specializes in exposing the United Nations, international organizations, extremist movements, media bias, and judicial tyranny through investigative journalism. Thanks, Cliff, for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Diane. Thank you.
You have your plate full. With all the media, you know, they're all saying the same thing, basically. How much investigative journalism actually goes on in today's America?
Not really too much. Journalism has been in a decadent state, literally for decades. I ran into this when I first went for a journalism degree in college over 40 years ago. My textbook was called Interpretative Reporting, which means who, what, when, where, why, how, and so what.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, a lot of bias has entered in. It's gotten worse. It's corrupt. It's dishonest. And tragically, many of these liberal journalists who have been recruited, who went into journalism, of course, wanted to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was an exception to that rule. I was a conservative student. But, of course, most conservative students at that time went into business, finance, economics. You know, they wanted to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be part of the system. And journalism has been devoted to tearing the system down.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. You know, the past few months, we've been in trouble. Well, we've seen so much trouble in this nation. We've seen election laws ignored, blatant voter fraud not prosecuted, and so-called, quote-unquote, election irregularities not investigated, which put someone in the White House who supposedly got 81 million votes, but only won 477 counties compared to President Trump's 2,497 counties. And they only won one of 19 of the bellwether counties compared to 18 of 19 bellwethers won by President Trump. What happens if someone talks about election irregularities? What happens to that person? I mean, it's cancel culture.
Well, I'll give you an example of my own situation. I have a YouTube channel. I've had it for many, many years. I just had a video taken down by YouTube. Because we talked about that.
Mm.
We talked about election fraud. It wasn't a big issue of the video. It was an interview I did with Jack Cashel, who's written a number of books, including his latest, Unmasking Obama.
Mm.
But that was taken down by this YouTube machine. And they told me, well, you can't talk about that. So that's the second video that's been taken down by my group, America Survival, Inc. I'm looking for alternatives, places, safe and secure platforms free of censorship to move my new videos to. I did about 15 videos on election fraud. It's real. It's an important issue. But in this period of time for the United States, we're entering the stage the Marxists would call socialism, moving into communism. It's also been called the highest stage of capitalism because you got these corporations like Google,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, who were really elements or instruments of the state. And people should go back and read the Communist Manifesto. By the way, Karl Marx started out his career as a journalist. Many people
don't know
that.
Oh, my goodness.
He wrote for the New York Tribune. He covered the American Civil War. He started out as a journalist. And we've had notorious journalists over the course of time. Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame at the Washington Post, Walter Cronkite, Walter Durante of the New York Times, Herbert Matthews of the New York Times. All these mm-hmm. people were involved to some extent or another in shaping the policies of the U.S. government. But people need to go back and read the Communist Manifesto to understand this Marxist theory of history that's driving much of our elites and much of the media coverage of our future or fate as a nation.
Yeah. Did you call that higher state of capitalism, Marxism or higher state of capitalism? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. In the highest stage of capitalism, that's what they call it according mm-hmm. to Marxist theory, we're on the verge of becoming a full-blown socialist state. And that's when these, in ordinary conservative parlance, these are called woke corporations. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Google, not just those, but many big companies themselves committed to diversity and inclusion. Those are all their euphemisms, but it's all about changing or transforming, in Obama's words, fundamentally transforming
right.
the system.
Yeah,
So this is where they're going. We're at this highest stage of capitalism, going into socialism. And then ultimately, of course, as Gorbachev himself said when he supposedly broke with the old Soviet Union, he said, we are on the road to world communism and we'll never turn off that road.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've definitely seen the corporations trying to remake America when it comes to the LGBT issue, when they've signed on to like letters at HRC, the Human Rights Campaign has written, or they've like opposed like HB2 in North Carolina. They opposed that, and that would have, of course, prevented men from using women's bathrooms and such. So that they become more and more, corporations have become more and more diverse, as you're saying. And unfortunately, the word diverse usually almost always nowadays means LGBTQ, that they're embracing that.
Now, keep in mind, Diane, that as we were able to document ourselves through my group, America Survival, the modern founder of the gay rights movement was a man named Harry Hay, who was a founder, who was a member of the Communist Party USA.
Wow.
Harry, we got his FBI file, by the way, and we publicized that. Harry Hay wore dresses. He believed in the occult. He actually marched in a gay rights parade in favor of NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association. I don't know if you noticed, but just literally yesterday, the story broke that Milwaukee County judge was arrested on child pornography charges. Mm. His name was Brett Blom, B-L-O-M-M-E. I'm going to be posting the arresting and complaint documents. He was a leading supporter of the LGBTQ movement in Wisconsin and arrested on charges of possession of child pornography.
You said he was a federal judge in Wisconsin?
No, county judge.
County judge.
So it's this kind of thing. It's getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Of course, we could go to the national level and talk about people like Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
Convicted
right.
pedophile who mysteriously died in prison, and
yes.
all of his top-level associates, which mm-hmm. included people like Bill Gates. It's something that the Trump Justice Department never got to the bottom of. Bill Barr neglected or was derelict in his duty then, as he was with the election fraud. So we're in deep trouble,
yeah.
and under, quote, President Biden, things are deteriorating rapidly.
Yeah, back to Bill Barr. Your article that you wrote recently talked about Donald Barr. I had no idea who Donald Barr was until I read your article. So who is he? And kind of run through that scenario to where Bill Barr, President Trump's last attorney general, was really part of the deep state.
It's a fascinating story. Most of us have come to realize that our intelligence agencies are corrupt. But it goes back a long way. And Donald Barr, who was Bill Barr's father, worked for the OSS. This was the predecessor, the forerunner to the CIA. And, of course, Bill Barr, before he became attorney general under Trump, was also a member of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Donald Barr, the father, who would hire Jeffrey Epstein as a teacher.
Yeah.
And then Bill Barr, of course, would fail to get to the bottom of what happened to Epstein. In prison, simply saying, well, he died under mysterious circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Very mysterious circumstances, yes.
You know, how convenient before he could spill the beans uh-huh. on his involvement in an international sex trafficking ring.
Yeah, and those videos all disappeared because we heard a whole lot about videos that were going to expose a whole lot. of top-level individuals who were involved in pedophile rings, but those we haven't heard anything about those since his mysterious suicide. Yeah.
No, and then think about what's happening now with open borders and all these kids coming across. Some of them undoubtedly being used by the drug cartels and the human trafficking rings, perhaps being sent up to service the elites.
Yeah.
This is just a fact of life in America today, and it goes from top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah, and the more we look into it, I mean, the kids coming across the border, it is a true tragedy, just the fact that the borders are open once again and that floodgates have been opened and we're being invaded, basically, while we have National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., protecting Nancy Pelosi, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Schumer, while we're being invaded from the South. But yeah, these kids, the Democrats always talk about the tragedy of the kids, et cetera, but they never do anything about it. It's just frustrating to me. So we now have, of course, the Democrats in control of the House and the Senate and the White House, all under mysterious circumstances. They're in control of all those three branches of government. But two branches of government, House, Senate, and White House. But anyway, so we have the Republicans in the minority. And I know that they're standing up against the Democrats, right? Yeah, sure.
The Republicans are thoroughly divided. They're demoralized. I get a lot of Republican emails, and most of these characters in the Senate, even Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, are whining about being canceled themselves, being victims of cancel culture. And by the way, that term, all it means is communism. I don't know why these Republicans don't tell it like it is. Cancel culture, a woke corporation, being woke, these are communist terms.
Oh, wow.
Marxist terms that are should be used to describe actual Marxism, the influence of the Marxists in the Democratic Party and the society as a whole, but the Republicans are afraid to even use those terms, and they're out there whining about, send me some dollars. I saw one from Ted Cruz the other day saying, send me $60 and I'll send you a copy of Green Eggs and Ham, because poor old Dr. Seuss has been...
He's being targeted for cancel.
You know, a few of his books supposedly had negative portrayals of minority... You know, these Republicans just don't want to fight. They're whining, complaining. And to be honest, perfectly blunt, there's really nothing they could do because we're in the middle of a one-party state. You mentioned two branches of government under their control. Look at the third branch. We Republican Supreme Court.
Yeah. Supposedly.
And they didn't lift a finger for free and fair elections during the campaign or after.
Yeah, that was so disappointing because I know just a couple weeks ago they were faced with the decision as to whether to hear the numerous election cases, which several of them were from Pennsylvania, and they refused to listen to any of them. The majority did. John Roberts, of course, leading that majority. But I know that Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito said, we got to listen to, you know, we have to hear these cases. But, of course, they were overruled 6-3. But, I totally agree. Yeah, I need to have three branches. That was more accurate saying three branches because Chief Justice John Roberts, I mean, I've thought for years they have something on him. And after this past election cycle, I think even more strongly that more Americans think that they have something on him and he's afraid to do anything. And it's frightening that we live in a nation like this and that the Republicans never have known how to lead. I mean, President Trump was their backbone. And once he left office, their backbone crumbled. And
well, that's true. But look at it. We've got a Supreme Court now with three Trump appointees, they didn't even vote for him.
I know.
In terms of these cases.
Right.
And I have to be carried a step further. What the heck has Trump been doing since he was forced out?
Yeah.
You know, he used Mike Pence as an excuse to leave, saying, oh, Pence didn't stand up for me. But what's Trump been doing down there at Mar-a-Lago? It looks like he's been golfing.
He's always in a golf shirt whenever you're always actually physically golfing, whenever you see pictures of him, for sure. Hopefully, and my hope is that he's brainstorming and that he's got good advisors around him. My fear is that his advisors are giving him bad advice. That's my thought. We can never know.
Diane, this has been happening for 4 years.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I mean, who nominated those Supreme Court justices who betrayed him? Who picked Mike Pence? Who picked William Barr?
Yeah. Well, I know as far as the judges, they were supposed to have gone through what a Federalist Society were supposed to have vetted them, and that they were advising President Trump at that point for as far as the Supreme Court judges.
Yeah, but what a joke that group is, the Federalist Society. I mean, we were, at America Survival, one of the few groups to oppose Brett Kavanaugh, not because he was a drunk in high school or sexually harassed somebody. I think those were interesting but frivolous and mostly unconfirmed charges. I guess he did brag about drinking beer, but our problem with him was that he was part of Ken Starr's team under Clinton that whitewashed and covered up the murder of Vincent Foster.
Oh.
So we talked about that, issued a whole report on that, and I was ostracized by the so-called conservative movement, even though I've been around longer than some of them have been alive.
Yeah, that's true. It is frustrating. And conservative media, I mean, they seem to be more concerned about the former members of the British royalty than they are some of this other news that should be at the top of their topics each evening when it comes to the border crisis, the person in the White House, and the things that the Democrats are trying to push in both the House and Senate. But it doesn't seem to be. I think too many people are afraid of the mainstream media and how they are going to be painted by the mainstream media. And I mean, you said you guys stood up against Brett Kavanaugh, and that was not something that was brought up as far as
I mean, to tell you how far the conservative movement, so-called, has gone, just a couple of years ago, I was denied press credentials to cover the Conservative Political Action Conference.
Oh, wow.
They considered me too extreme, and yet I was one of those who was there in the 80s in the audience and speaking when President Reagan addressed the group. I was there at one point in the 90s, introducing then Congressman Mike Pence.
Wow.
And now I'm considered too extreme for CPAC. And instead, you know, they had this recent conference in Orlando, Uncanceling America, they called it. Wow. They wanted to be free and independent and tell the truth and be politically incorrect. And yet what happened, even before they started, they canceled one of their own speakers. Because he was a black hip-hop or rap artist that made some controversial comments. These people have no guts. CPAC is run by this lobbyist, Matt Slapp, whose wife worked in the Trump White House. He's a lobbyist. That's how he makes his money.
Wow.
I mean, come on. And then they bring in as co-sponsors or exhibitors at CPAC, atheists, drug...
Law cabin Republicans.
So, Soros-funded drug people, and then the log cabin Republicans, the homosexuals who falsely imply Lincoln was gay.
So they brought in Soros drug, the ones who are pushing legalization of marijuana? The Soros?
Oh, yeah, the Drug Policy Alliance. I don't know if it was there this year, but I know they've been there in the past. And, and groups against the death penalty, all this. They've gradually over the years just gone farther and farther left. It's a joke.
Especially to continue calling themselves conservative. That's just not quite right.
That's how they operate. They change the meaning of words.
Right. Oh, and that's just like the left. Just like the left does, absolutely, change the meaning of words. And unfortunately, people are thinking, well, to legalize marijuana means conservative. And to be an atheist means conservative. I mean, that's what CPAC, the message that they're sending to folks who... know those groups are there.
I try to warn people through my columns and what we put on our website to go to conservative sites that you can trust, that you know are really conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of these, quote, conservative media outlets out there are just clickbait. They have all these ads that pop up selling this or that, and they just recycle stuff they've seen elsewhere. That's not the way we do it. I've been a journalist, as I say, all my life, and I do my own reporting, do my own columns, do my own videos, at least when I'm able to put them up without censorship. This is the way I work, and people ought to know that.
Right, absolutely, and not depending on someone else to do your research and to do your writing and then stick your name on it, for sure. So is there any hope for America?
I have to hope there's hope.
You have to hope there's hope, That's a good way of putting it, because there's so much.
It's going to be a struggle to save this country, but I think you alluded to the American revolutionaries earlier. There were only a few percentage of the population that fought at the time against the Brits.
Right.
And consequently, we have to hope to reach people. We have to do our best. I've been recently asking for support for donations so we can get our videos transferred, because I'm not on the payroll of any big conservative foundations.
Right.
There's very few of them, by the way. But the left has a lot more money.
Oh, yeah.
They've captured the minds of America. And that's why I say to people, go back to the roots of the problem. Understand what the Communist Manifesto said. It's two important planks: abolition of private property and abolition of the traditional family. And if you understand the Marxist aims and goals, you'll understand how the predicament we are in today, how we got there.
And we see that happening right before our eyes. Government's taking over the family, redefining the family, supporting the family through relief checks and whatever else, other government programs. And we definitely see them taking control of more and more property. So how can folks contact you?
They can go to usasurvival.org, usasurvival.org. There's a way to support us up at the top, a way to contact me and read our material.
Okay, fantastic. usasurvival.org. And I do encourage our listeners to check out Cliff's website and read his articles, because they are definitely in-depth and well-researched, and I appreciate that. So you take care of yourself, Cliff.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.